welcome to Aerial Helwani's MMA Show!
Post-show time on this Monday, December 17, 2018. Hello again, everyone. I'm Aria Helwani. That is New York Rick. No time for the usual theatrics at the top, my friends, because New York Rick, we have a lot to talk about. And Mr. Jake in the back, who, by the way, all of a sudden, ever since Jake got his promotion, I mean, he is just cracking that whip. The Jake-itude is on a different level. He doesn't even want to, you know, share any pleasantries.
I gotta
know
keep
nothing.
You in check, Ariel.
I mean,
come
it's
on.
Unbelievable, this guy. He gets a promotion and he has changed. Has he changed on you too, or
he's
just
not
on me?
He's the same old Jake.
Not, listen, same old Al, not same old Jake.
Long Island's own.
I will attest to that. Same old Jake? No, wrong. Same old Al. Okay, we have a lot to talk about. Yes, hello, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Yes.
Al was great.
I need to come down a little bit from today's show because Vitor just left the studio. We had Dominic Cruz just, you know, making me feel like the luckiest man on the face of the earth as I was going to say Joe Rogan, Lou Gehrig once said. and then you have Vitor Belfort waxing poetic. I mean, I don't even know what to do with myself right now.
Two to put back to back that are bound to inspire.
Unbelievable.
But yeah, great stuff today from everybody.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I wasn't necessarily talking about you,
booking the show.
As the vehicle for them to deliver that.
Okay. We have a lot to talk about that we didn't get a chance to really talk about at length on the program. I want to start with Bellator in Hawaii.
Absolutely.
I said to Alimelei McFarlane that I felt like that was the greatest night in Bellator's history. I felt like Bellator grew up on Saturday. I felt like they finally got it right. You know, the Thackervilles of the world, the Mohegan Sons of the world, like, they are a necessary evil. I don't want to call them evil in the sense that they are detrimental to the promotion.
Sure.
But, you know, when you go to Thackerville and you have Darion Caldwell, you know, like, these are just fights. Saturday night in Honolulu, that was magic. That was Conor in Dublin to me. That's what it felt like. The stars aligned. It was a great card leading up to it, but then to have a local star come out with the emotion and the entrance and then the victory and then the post-fight reaction, that's the stuff promoters dream of. It really is. And I feel like now Alima is viewed in a different light. She is a superstar. And there's a lesson here, right? You need to take fighters to their hometown in order to get them over the hump because there is a trickle-down effect. We've talked about this before. It comes through. I was watching that at home, and I can't imagine what it was like in person.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
You can feel the atmosphere. You can feel the environment. You can feel those moments. And Alima was – the spotlight was entirely on her and that experience, and she delivered. Now, you say that Bellator grew up from that, but – are we not going to return to the Thackervilles? Is that not what's ahead? And we're doing Daly and MVP in Connecticut.
That's the problem. I don't like. It's like you're 100% right.
I don't feel like it's really a turning point because we're going back to what it was. It's also very difficult. Look, you know, they don't have as many marketable stars as let's compare to the UFC. They're number two, and you can't always put people in place where they're going to be the hometown hero and they're going to have that moment to shine. It's a difficult thing. Now with MVP and Daly, you do have that opportunity and they're not taking it, but
that would be the same scene.
It would absolutely.
It would be different because it wouldn't all be about one guy, right? In this case, it was all about
Alimelei. Now it's two. There's two fan bases that are coming together.
It gets me so mad. It really does.
It's a difficult thing to make happen. I think when we have the opportunities to do it or when an organization has the opportunity to do it, take advantage, and Bellator did it properly. No doubt about it in Hawaii.
Oh my God. Properly. It was a home run.
Yeah.
Now I'll say the pacing on Friday was a bit of a mess. And I didn't want to openly complain about it because it was about the troops and it was all for a good cause, but they need to figure that out.
It's just,
I know
there's
is a problem.
The Fox pacing. Oh. Now there's the Bellator on Paramount pacing.
Listen,
it's just
ESPN
MMA on TV
is
difficult.
Going to be,
okay.
Is going to be primo.
There we go.
That's all right.
The plug.
They haven't asked me my thoughts yet.
On the
basis,
yeah.
I feel like change is coming.
Yeah.
And it needs to come because we are killing people's love of the sport by like I want to see main events. I want to stay up, but it's hard.
Even the hardcores are finding it difficult to struggle through and to fight through. It's time to do something about that.
So let me quickly run down what happened on Saturday. Leonardo Machida, I think that Bellator jitters are a real thing, because it seems like they signed, like, the same thing, like, with Gegard. It's happened with others. Bader had a win, but it wasn't
Gegard's, like... Gegard's first fight was Shlemenko? What was his first fight?
Yeah. It wasn't the greatest Lyoto Machida.
Yeah.
And he talked about being nervous afterwards. In the end, though, he wins. And I thought he deserved to win, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a performance that wowed everyone. Neiman Gracie versus Ed Ruth, to me, was, I mean, I was just captivated by that fight.
Sure.
You know, the All-American going up against, you know, the BJJ black belt on the ground was just amazing. Lee McGeary knocking out King Mo. That's what I'm saying. Like, 23 Hawaiians, it had a nice mix of local stars and local flavor, if you will, as Scott Coker likes to do, but also big names.
Yeah.
Michael Chandler on Friday winning. It felt to me like Bellator overshadowed the final Fox show. Bellator was the, how often is it that Bellator is the bigger story when, you know, it wasn't like, oh, I don't know, who's the biggest star in Bellator right now? Rory Gegard. Like, those guys weren't on these cards necessarily. So it wasn't like the A list of Bellator. Don't get me wrong, you know, Lyoto, these guys are big names. But, you know, often we'll see Bellator have their A list crew, Fedor or whatever, Chael, going up against a sort of B UFC.
Well, I was about to say, Lee and Iaquinta are a next tier down from...
You say so?
The highest level. Yeah, I would say so. It's not a championship fight.
Lee Iaquinta, who's more popular? Lee Iaquinta or McFarlane Letourneau?
No. Don't get me wrong, certainly. But I'm saying that the UFC's A-list wasn't on display in...
But my point is, I don't think Bellator's A-list was technically on display either.
Sure.
And yet, Bellator felt like the bigger card.
I certainly, if you ask me which card would I have rather been at, there's no doubt it's the Hawaii card.
How is it that, I think, who mentioned this earlier? Like, UFC has gone to Abu Dhabi and they built a makeshift stadium. They've gone all over the world. How have they not figured this out? Bring a smaller card like you did with Conor. That arena is a 10,000-seat arena. It's essentially the same arena as the Neil S. Blaisdell.
But do you do a 10,000-seat arena with Max Holloway when you can bring him to a 30,000-seat arena somewhere else and sell it?
The ship has maybe sailed, but how did they not get this done
that's a different question. But right now, it seems like you're kind of in a middle ground on a few things. One, negotiating the money from the tourism board and all those people to make it happen. Two, the arena that Bellator did their show in seems too small. And then you have on the other side of the equation Aloha Stadium, which might be too big.
Right.
So you're kind of in a tough ground with that. I would like to see an event with Max Holloway in Hawaii.
Could you imagine the reaction?
Yeah.
Look at the reaction of Lima Leigh McFarlane, who I think she would be the first to say isn't at Max's level in terms of popularity. Could you imagine BJ Penn back in the day? But like Max today, oh my God.
Yeah, and BJ still fighting. You put BJ on that card. You put Max. You put Yancey. I think there's a recipe there, but I understand why this seems like they're in a tough time to do it. It either needs to be a little further down the line or have happened already.
Right.
So I get it, but kudos to Bellator for capitalizing.
Does BJ Penn ride the wave on December 29th?
Oh boy.
I mean, it feels like it's just set up for the greatest month in Hawaiian MMA history, right? Max Alima back-to-back weeks and then the return of BJ.
I have no comment on this matter.
You will watch. You say you won't, but you will.
Last time I said I wouldn't and I broke.
You will.
This time
he seems to be in a good spot. No Vu Nyao.
I'm not going to say I'm not going to watch, cuz I tried that experiment last time and I know myself. I'm going to watch, but I'm going to be watching like that.
You will watch.
I will watch.
AJ McKee, 13 wins in a row. He's ready for a title shot, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Javier Ayala, breaking, I think, Frank Mir's jaw.
Apparently, yeah. Something in the upper jaw went wrong for Frank Mir. So,
horrible.
Difficult, but good performance.
From Frank Mir?
No, by Ayala.
Oh, yeah, of course. So that was Bellator. And then Saturday... in Milwaukee, the final Fox show. And I have to just say, the nostalgia, like everyone's like, oh, Fox, I'm going to miss Fox. Like, you guys have been complaining about Fox on Twitter for the last 7 years. Like, just cry me a river with the all the nostalgia stuff, all right?
I think there were some good moments on Fox, but certainly I don't think the last 7 years were...
It didn't turn out the way people thought.
Yeah, were the revolution that I think
I think people were talking maybe about the 8 to 10 big Fox shows. Those were great.
Yeah.
Who complained about those? What a performance from Iaquinta.
I mean, big underdog getting it done.
What was he?
Like plus 275 or something like that?
He might be the most underrated fighter in the sport right now.
Absolutely. I think what it is, you know, there's been periods of inactivity. People tend to forget. I know, you know, y'all must have forgot is something you stand by. But truly, I think people forget how good Al is and the level of opponent he's been facing. I'll have to admit, you know, I thought Kevin Lee was going to be able to implement his game plan a little bit more. Now, maybe he didn't actively try to. That could be another thing. It didn't seem like he was going to the wrestling as much as I thought he might have. But on the feet, Al boxed him up. Al did exactly what he needed to do, showed him different looks, and was complete, and had a really good performance. So, yeah. Al is one of the most underrated fighters in the toughest division in MMA, in my opinion.
And that fifth round where he just kept coming, yeah. Got in his face, yelling at him.
He's one of a kind.
Unbelievable. What a performance from Ally Quinta. And I like anyone versus Connor, obviously.
Yeah.
But I like what he's selling here. Like, I like the little package that he's selling, the story, what he said on the show today, slamming the
laptop closed.
By the way, you guys can use that. UFC, you could use that. I mean, we're all family now anyway. Use that. Go for it. By the way, did you notice that they put me in the Thank You Fox package? They did a Thank You
Fox. I did it.
I mean, they have to be either trolling me at this point or somehow this slept, you know, this flew under the radar because because I mean, you put my voice is in the first minute of the whole thing.
Really? I didn't know that.
The Fox, goodbye. You That's put my incredible. Voice of all people. Jeez Louise. I have to say I was honored, but I think they're trolling me at this
Troll
point.
Troll job?
It was just like a kick in the
nuts.
I had no
idea. I can't believe that.
Oh, my.
Thank you.
Anyway, Edson Barbosa.
Great performance, yeah.
They should have stopped that earlier, in my opinion. Between the second and third round, Dan Hooker
wasn't even on the stool.
He's sitting on the mat.
Yeah.
Come on. He's too tired.
That was tough, and Edson was styling at that point. Like, it was clear that he needed to be out of there, but wouldn't take himself out, which is, you know, what we kind of tend to have happened in MMA. The towel never gets thrown in,
right.
And the referee doesn't stop it, and Dan Hooker is as tough as nails, so that's what we kind of get.
Charles Oliveira extends his submission streak, Rob Font with a win, Jared Gordon was involved in a crazy fight. I mean, that was just bonkers. Yeah. Juan Adams. By the way, Juan Adams, that picture that he posted, did you see that?
I didn't.
Oh, man. Look up Juan Adams' Instagram after and look at what he had after the weigh-ins.
A celebratory meal?
No, after the weigh-ins. Oh. He has to cut. He walks around at like 310 or something.
Yep.
Yeah. Just like a very nice cornucopia of things. You were at Invicta.
I was at Invicta on
anything of note?
Saturday. Yes. Yeah, a few things actually. Jin Yu Fry in the main event defended her title. She mm-hmm. won the title controversially over Mina Grusander
mm-hmm.
And defended it. So she's now 2-0 in that series, I think. We're able to move on from that series of fights, but another close one and another good one. Opening fight of the night, Chantel Coates with a huge knockout. It was getting passed around on Twitter a lot. Really precision striking from an Invicta debutante. That one was one to watch. Anastasia Nikolakakos with a dominant performance. Her Invicta debut, and then the armbar that everybody was kind of talking about, Kay Hansen.
Oh my God.
After getting dominated for 2.5 rounds or longer, 14 minutes and like 45 seconds by Sharon Jacobson, gets suplexed and pulls off the armbar after being suplexed.
That's one of the best submissions of the year. And yeah. I say that because I'm now doing my awards, so it's very fresh on my mind, all the great submissions. That was incredible.
Yeah. Her presence and wherewithal to kind of be in there and strike when the moment was hot after being dominated was impressive. Kay Hansen.
By the way, great transition. December 31st. Let's quickly address this.
Yes.
I announced it officially on the show today. We have done the award show over the past.
Officially, yes, but you had a little tease.
Listen, UFC could do their teases. I could do my teases. Yes. Right? And by the way, that's a new belt. Everyone's like, oh, I see Canada, I see America. Oh, it's GSP coming back. Really? That's what you guys think? Like, does the
UFC, diamonds and things around
does
there,
the UFC
it?
Ever make announcements that way? No, they're rebranding the belt.
Yeah.
Which is nice. It's a nice gesture. You know, it's the new era coming up. It's ESPN, all that stuff. Yeah. Give it a little.
Time for a fresh paint.
Sure. Fresh coat of paint.
Fresh coat.
So, December 31st, live on ESPN2, 9 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m. Eastern.
Right up
we're
to
counting
New Year's.
Down the new year with us. It's amazing. Not only are we counting down to 2019, we're counting down to the new era, UFC on ESPN, and we're giving out awards. Now, if you are a longtime viewer/listener of the program, you know that we like to give out awards either at the end of the year or early.
Right after.
Yeah, it depends on how. But in this particular case, the backstory is Monday ended up being December 31st. So I said, hey, why don't we actually do this in prime time? Count down the new era, count down the new year, give out the awards, special guests. This is going to be big. ESPN 2.
Yep. Mama,
no disrespect
we made it.
To the internet, but this is ESPN.
No disrespect to the entire internet. Yeah, exciting. TV debut and one of my favorite shows of the year always.
Yes.
Giving out the awards and kind of looking back at 2018. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just going to say it's a very tough year. Like there have been years in the past where a lot of the awards, I think it was even last year where DJ was sub of the year and all that. Like there were just a lot of easy ones. I would say there's maybe like one gimme. I won't say what it is.
Yeah, but, save that.
But I think they're all debatable.
Yeah. A lot of runners up, a lot of honorable mentions. It was a good year for the top cream of the crop in MMA.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. But I am very excited.
If I ask you, and we will talk a little bit more about this on the New Year's show.
Yeah.
But in more detail, but this is more broad. 2018, what kind of a year was it?
What kind of a year was 2018? It didn't feel, there's been years in the past and recently where it felt like, wow, the UFC can do nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's been years that felt like the UFC can do nothing right. And I don't feel like this was either of those. I felt like this is somewhere in the middle. This was the year where some things were really, really good. Some things lined up well. Conor McGregor coming back to MMA is big. John Jones now coming back in December is big. But I also didn't feel like there was any one, you know, huge grand slam type thing that happened. So I think this was kind of a treading water year, to be honest, across the sport of MMA. Bellator had some good signings, but I think that's a continuation of things. So to me, this was a year that felt, yeah, like treading water. Like nothing happened in this year that to me that changed the tide of MMA, where that has been a feeling I've had in the past, nor did I think anything happened that was catastrophic. The biggest news, in my opinion, and cite me for bias if you wish, was the new broadcast deal for the UFC.
Sure,
the UFC.
And you can make the argument that that did change or will change the tide, but I get your point.
This year,
I get your point for this impact, particular year. Yes,
yeah,
that's something that
happened.
Will be felt next year and beyond. Only one pay-per-view that got over a million.
Yeah.
However, it did smash the record, so that was
record-setting, and that's the one, and then the rest was kind of here.
There, yeah.
That's how I felt.
Yeah, and Bellator's ratings not very good, although the DAZN deal was huge for them. So I agree with your assessment of trading. Like, it wasn't horrible.
No.
It wasn't 2016.
There's the year where every main event is getting canceled. Everybody's getting injured. I didn't feel that either. I didn't feel despondent. I didn't feel despair. It just felt like an average year for MMA with some big moments.
Yes. The drama never ends, though.
No.
As we head into 2019, because like there's no great. Well, lightweight is a mess, but that's because we're waiting to see what happens with Conor and Khabib.
Yeah.
So they get a pass.
Conor McGregor seems to affect every division in that way. That turns.
But welterweight
is
a mess, and it feels like for no reason. Like at this point, we have now talked over the past 2 weeks to Askren, Usman, Woodley, and Covington today, and I don't understand why. March 2nd isn't Woodley versus Covington. Like, why are you punishing Covington? Okay, so he couldn't fight in September. All right, Woodley fights, he wins. And now Woodley couldn't fight in January. So just do the fight in March. They're both ready. It's such a big fight.
What
am I missing?
I don't have an answer for
you. What am I missing here? How in the world is Usman going to leapfrog over the guy you put in an interim title fight?
Is he, though? Is that?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I said it last week. He put out any time someone puts out the signed bout agreement, because I know as a reporter, I mean, you might as well be asking for state secrets if you ask like, hey, is Zabit really fighting Jeremy Stephens? Like, it's like, oh, I can't possibly tell you.
Yeah.
It's like such big news. I mean, it's just a fight. So anytime someone is willingly going out on social media and showing a bout agreement for the world to see, something's up. And especially when they're tagging, you know, all these different people, something's up. So I feel like this is reminiscent of UFC 205 when Khabib was out there putting out his bout agreement, and it was really Eddie versus Conor, the fight they won. They do a lot of things that I disagree with. That's well documented. But you cannot bypass this fight. This is too great of a fight. The build is just, this is the stuff you dream of as a promoter.
I would be surprised if that's not the fight. I understand that. You know, there's difficulty in pinning down the date and location, but I would be surprised if that's not the fight. They have to capitalize on it. To be honest, Colby Covington's shtick is only going to last for so long. There's only a certain amount of time that has. There's a shelf life for it.
Mm-hmm.
you have to capitalize on it when it's at its peak.
The guy went to the White House.
And he's right there right now. It's time to do that fight. And Tyron can't do it in January. So I think that it makes sense to do it in
Q1. And it's not like
Q1.
You're screwing Kamaru Usman because he just fought and he told us he was banged up.
Yes.
And we're not talking about him waiting till May to see who went. We're talking about 3 months from now, less than 3 months.
We talked about this last week. No doubt I feel that Kamaru Usman has done enough to deserve a title shot. Yeah. No doubt about it.
Fight the winner.
Just wait for the next one.
It's perfect.
And I think that that's how it will play.
Oh, here's Jake telling us 5 minutes. Jake, are you happy that Michael Chandler won? I mean, did you celebrate? What did you do?
I didn't celebrate. It was a good fight.
You said you wanted him to win.
I did.
And are you happy?
I am.
Congratulations, by the way, on the promotion. Am I allowed to publicly?
Yes, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Is that frowned upon?
It's not frowned upon.
I mean, there's so many rules. I don't know.
Was it dependent upon Michael Chandler winning? Did you risk that?
I should have, because it was a lock. Yeah, it was a lock.
I mean, between Ally Quinta and Chandler, what a weekend for, and your promotion.
Yeah, Long Island.
Did you celebrate? What did you do?
Went to the Jets game on Saturday.
Wow, hey. What a celebration! Yeah, you saw them lost. Lose. Yeah,
that's okay.
Amazing.
It's all right.
I'm
still
so happy.
Time, though.
Yeah. Wow. Michael Chandler. I should have told Chandler. I forgot.
Yeah,
I blew that one.
Somebody rooting for him here in the
I
back.
I blew that one. Yeah. It was just great. I mean, it was just such great analysis, you know?
When you put me on the spot, I mean.
Anything you want to say about Jon Jones coming back or the welterweight mess?
No, I'm going to play your music.
What about Dana versus Oscar? Anything you want to say about that feud?
Nah, I'll leave that to you two. You two have fun with that one.
Oh, my. Dana versus Oscar. What a mess that is, huh? I mean, I just love it. More fire out of Dana White over the past week than we've seen over the last 3 years.
He is definitely enthused. Oscar has gotten him out of bed with this one. Absolutely.
It's perfect.
He's needed a rival, and now he's got
one. It's boxing. It's a fellow promoter.
Yeah.
Remember when they were all chummy when, like, Oscar would tweet out things like, can't wait for the pay-per-view.
Oscar was a huge fan, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now he's on the other side of the fence. He's promoting himself.
Dana's showing up to First Take with, like, a list of talking points.
No.
I came up with
get
these.
Get up, right?
He was also on First Take. Yeah, both. He made the rounds. It was like a whole media tour. Called up Kevin Ioli.
Look.
Demanding drug tests.
I have to admit, I think Oscar's a little out of his depths with this one.
Yeah, I think it's fun.
But it's certainly getting attention. He needs to ride this wave. If he plans to continue this MMA stuff, and by all accounts from him, he does, this is a good way to get yourself attention. Well, I'm going based on what he said.
Right, right.
This is a good way to stay relevant in the MMA space.
I think it helped Oscar because he had the Canelo fight to promote.
Yeah, and now he has a topic to talk about besides the boxing side of things.
Okay, quick game of buy or sell because Jake's kicking us out because all of a sudden he's, you know, he's corporate Jake now. This is like when The Rock went from Rocky Maivia to corporate Rock. He's corporate Jake. He's walking back there with like a bow tie and a suit and everything. I mean, it's suffocating a little bit. Anyway, Cain Velasquez versus Francis Ngannou.
Buy.
You like it, huh? For Francis?
Yeah. That's an opportunity for Francis to quickly erase the Stipe fight, to quickly erase the Lewis fight, and get back now two in a row, get back into the title picture. And for Cain, I think anybody. Let's just see him back.
Oh,
so,
man.
Yeah.
Especially in Arizona, in
that'd
Phoenix.
That'd be big.
Jose Aldo versus Renato Moicano.
Buy, because I think Moicano deserves that opportunity, and I think if he can get this done, he's in title shot contention. But I don't know how much it does for Aldo, so credit to him for taking a young,
he was go
tough
up to
contender.
I thought he might fight Donald Cerrone, who's fighting Alex Hernandez. Buy or sell that one. Cerrone told us he had a big fight. Remember?
I'm buying. I mean, these are all great fights, so you're leaving me little choice. There's not really a
matchmaking,
sell.
But
I buy that. But Donald Cerrone... Donald Cerrone versus Aldo would have been interesting.
That would have been
I'm still buying this.
Zabit against Stevens?
Is there something between buy and sell? Like, meh?
Hedge? I don't know.
Sure. I'll buy it. Because again, much like I was talking about with Kane, I just want to see Zabit fight again. It seems like he's been snake bitten with getting opponents and actually getting in the cage. So let's see it.
Okay, one more. Diego Sanchez, Mickey Gall.
Yeah.
Bit of an age gap there, right? I wanted to see Mickey against Platinum Perry.
They did a good job selling that, but this is, I mean, didn't Mickey specifically call out Sanchez? Didn't he ask for Sanchez?
Yeah.
So I have to buy the man who makes the call out. Mickey's been good at that.
Robin Van Roosmalen is making his way over to mixed martial arts.
I can speak very
Yeah, sure you can. Unfortunately, Jake says we have no more time. one is signing with Turner. John Jones has been cleared by the California State Athletic Commission. There's a technical issue on Brock Lesnar's USADA test.
Yeah.
UFC's back on TSN and RDS. That means they're well in the ESPN family because, you know, we're all part of the same network.
And BT Sport.
BT Sport?
As well.
Yes. Who's also part of the family.
Yeah.
Sabina Mazo signing with the UFC, the LFA Women's Flyweight Channel. And did I tell you that on December 31st, we are going to be live from 9 p.m. Eastern Time to 12 a.m. Eastern Time, counting down the new year on ESPN2, giving out awards. And we're going to be joined by a lot of exciting people. Next week, though, December 24th, what do we got?
We've got the Best Of show.
Yes.
As people have come to expect around the holiday time.
Yes.
From us. We'll be looking back at the best of this half year, starting when we came over to ESPN in June. You were bold enough to say that it was the best half year.
Sure,
in
why
show
not?
History.
I mean, everyone throws out, you know, hyperbole. Why can't I?
I will agree with you.
All right.
We had a who's who, as we are wont to do.
We had every UFC champion.
Yes.
Okay, yes.
Real quick, the bets.
Yes.
I have one.
Okay.
It's easy.
For 232?
It's not going to take long. Yes. 232. John Jones, minus 280. Chris Cyborg, minus 250. Parlay those two. That's it.
That's it?
That's
you going out on a limb?
I didn't say I was going out on a limb.
That's your holiday pick?
It pays.
The two favorites, the two greatest of all time?
It pays 9 to 10. So for every 10, you get 9.
Oh, that's not bad.
It's almost 1 to 1.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the parlay. Look, it was better. John Jones opened as a smaller favorite, which I was surprised by.
Wow.
Minus 190. So anyway. That's it. It's easy.
Okay.
If you're feeling frisky, maybe Kat Zingano too. Minus 135.
Jake, anything you want to say? Nothing?
Yeah, happy holidays.
That's it? That's all you got? Wow. I mean, really. Everyone tells us about the crust first movement, about the post show, and here we have the man, Corporate Jake, bringing us down.
Another WWE reference, the man. Dropping
the man, yes.
Her match at
how about them featuring us all over the place? YouTube, Twitter. I mean, really, I was honored
big time.
I feel like I'm a character now at WWE.
That's not.
I mean, I helped put together the Brock Taker fight or match or whatever that thing is, and now they're using me to help put over the man.
You got to talk to Heyman and get in there.
Would be nice. It has been fun, my friend. I won't say, you know, have a great year and all that stuff because I'm going to see you December 31st.
Correct.
I'm wearing a tux. Are you?
We'll see.
All right. Well, I am. And I can't wait. It's going to be December 31st, one more time, live on ESPN2, LIVE Live. And we're going to have all kinds of guests. It's going to be a great time. Please do join us. For now, we shall say goodbye. Thank you very much to all our guests today. Edson Barbosa, Kevin Lee, Jessica Rose Clark, Ally Aquinta, Colby Covington, Alimale McFarlane, Michael Chandler, Dominic Cruz, and thank you very much to Vitor Belfort for coming in studio. What a huge honor that was, right?
Legend.
Amazing.
The young dinosaur.
Five. We're out of time. We are back next week with the Best Of show, and then in 2 weeks for our award show in prime time. We'll see you then. Much love. Happy holidays.